As we celebrate this morning the feast day of the Epiphany, I wanted to focus on the goal of this journey of the Magi. You know, they traveled great distances. It would have been a very long, dangerous journey that they undertook. And what was the goal? You know, we hear in the gospel today the culmination. They came to worship Jesus Christ. You know, the culmination is when they entered the house where the Holy Family was. They saw the Blessed Virgin Mary with the Christ child, and they prostrated themselves and did him homage. So I want to focus on that, and in particular, what does it mean to actually worship God? You know, what's the purpose? And I think worship is something that's becoming very foreign to our culture. You know, a lot of people don't even understand what it means to worship God. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people drift away from religion, is they have no sense of the importance of worshiping God. You know, a lot of people say that they're spiritual but not religious, as if they can live their faith out, you know, without coming to church. So I wanted to break down what it means to worship God, and basically into three different elements. You know, the first part of worshiping God is adoration. Now, adoration means to acknowledge another's worth or superior position. You know, that God is greater than we are. And this is something that's very countercultural, because people today are all about self-esteem, and there's a narcissism within our culture, a self-centeredness. But I want to quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2097. And it says, "To adore God is to acknowledge in respect and absolute submission the nothingness of the creature who would not exist but for God. To adore God is to praise and exalt him and to humble oneself, as Mary did in the Magnificat, confessing with gratitude that he has done great things and holy is his name." And so part of adoration means, as it says, in respect and absolute submission, to recognize that we are nothing without God. You know, we would not exist without him. Without him, we are, in truth, completely and totally nothing. And God is everything. You know, he is an infinite being. He is the source of all goodness, the source of all love, the source of all truth. And without him, we are nothing. And it's like a grain of sand before the greatness of the ocean. We're smaller than the grain of sand, and God is greater than the ocean. And so when the Magi came before our Lord, they prostrated themselves. What does that mean? It means they laid down on the ground face first as a sign of complete and total submission and humility before the all-powerful presence of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the attitude, the act of reverent submission that we should have when we come into the Lord's presence. In the Mass, the reason why we kneel is for the same purpose. We're placing ourselves on our knees and humbling ourselves and recognizing our nothingness before the presence of God. Kneeling is the outward expression of the inner disposition that should be in our hearts. And the reason why Catholics would traditionally kneel when receiving the Eucharist is for the same reason. As they prepare to receive Jesus Christ, they're making outward expression of their humility and their nothingness before God. 2097 in the Catechism goes on. It says, "The worship of the one God sets man free from turning in on himself, from the slavery of sin and the idolatry of the worship of the world." And I think that's a common tendency of human beings, is to focus on our own desires and turn in on ourselves. You know, we can focus in so often on the things that we want or the things that we don't have. You know, if we want a pay raise, or if we want to take a nice vacation, or if there's some pleasure that we want, or if there's some affirmation or respect from someone else that we want. So often we can turn in on ourselves and become so focused on our own finite desires that we end up closing ourselves into a box. You know, we end up, you know, basically incarcerating ourselves and trapping ourselves in our own desires. And if we don't get what we want, we're miserable. We're not happy because we've trapped ourselves and we've focused in on ourselves so much. And what worship does is it breaks through that. You know, if we're focused on our own petty desires, our world becomes smaller and smaller. But worship of God breaks that open and it expands our horizons. It frees us from our own selfishness so we can unite our will to the will of the infinite God who permeates the entire universe. Worship opens us up and helps us to get beyond ourselves to see the beauty and the goodness and the truth in the universe around us. And so worship is not something that's beneath our dignity as human beings. It's something that puts us in right relationship with God, in right relationship with the truth of who God is and who we are, and it makes us fully human. As long as we are self-enclosed in a selfish world, we cannot become the people we were created to be. Worship opens us up so that we can go beyond ourselves and commune with the infinite God. So the second element of worship is prayer. You know, prayer is communication with God, speaking to Him and listening to Him. You know, and that communication can take various forms. It can be prayers of contrition. If we've sinned against God and behaved in a way that we know is not pleasing to the infinite God, we need to repent and express to Him our sorrow. You know, St. Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father. You know, the desire that we have to acknowledge our Father in heaven. You know, the words of Thomas the Apostle when he sees the risen Lord, he says, my Lord and my God. You know, there should be deep and meaningful communication as we open up our hearts to our Lord. You know, pouring out our hearts before Him, asking the Lord for the assistance that we need. You know, God knows what's in our heart, and He knows what we need, but He wants to hear it from us. So the second element of worship is prayer. The third element of worship is sacrifice. We shouldn't ever come into God's presence empty-handed, but we should always offer something to Him, offer something precious. The Magi brought the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, they went on this long, difficult journey, and they offered all their sufferings and everything that they had endured. That was an offering to Jesus Christ. And as they prostrated themselves on the ground, they were offering themselves to Jesus Christ. You know, when we come to Mass, especially during the offertory, as we're bringing up the gifts, there should be an internal self-offering. We should offer something meaningful and precious to God. And what can that be? Well, it can be a variety of things. If we've made a sacrifice and given up something sinful that we know isn't pleasing to the Lord, you know, that sacrifice is an offering that we can place on the altar. Our financial contributions, or the actions of love that we've done throughout the week, the actions that fulfill the duties of our state of life, whether it's getting up in the middle of the night to tend to a crying child, or the responsibilities of work, you know, the sacrifices that we make on a daily basis, something as small as doing laundry, we can place those things on the altar as an offering to God. And so those are the three elements: adoration of God, prayer, and sacrifice. Now, in reality, our worship is never perfect. And because if we commit any sin, we are not humbling ourselves totally before the presence of God and acknowledging His infinite majesty. If there's any sin in us, that means we're rejecting God on some level and we're building ourselves up in pride. So our worship is never perfect. But we should strive to have deeper and more pleasing worship as we come here to Mass. And especially on this feast day of the Epiphany, and as we think about the example of the Magi undertaking this incredible journey simply for the opportunity to worship Jesus Christ, He's going to be present in a few moments upon this altar for us. The very being who brought us into existence, who we wouldn't exist without Him. So I encourage you on this feast day of Epiphany to worship more deeply today. And try to offer worship that is more pleasing to God this morning than you have ever done in your entire life. Humble yourself more deeply. Acknowledge the greatness and the majesty of God in a deeper, more heartfelt way than you've ever done before. Open your heart to communicate with Him and offer gifts to Him, sacrifice for Him.